If you would this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to address a subject this morning that I think is probably one of the most hotly debated issues in the church today, and that is spiritual gifts. A couple of weeks ago, after our evening Bible study, we got into a discussion about these things, and I was trying to go over some scriptures there with some folks, and so I thought it'd be good to address this subject once again because it is such an important issue. And the Bible is clear when you rightly divide the word of truth. And most of religion today believes that the spiritual gifts that were given in the early days of the church are still in effect today. And but there's a large number of people that say that they're not. And those that say that they're not, many times simply just pass it off as those things were in effect in the early church, but they dissipated through time, and today they're not in effect. Well, I believe that, but I believe there's a reason, and we need to know the reason, and there's a scriptural reason that we can show why these spiritual gifts that Paul mentions are no longer in effect. Now, a lot of people simply explain the spiritual gifts away by saying that the early epistles of Paul were not written to us today. It's what we identify as Acts 28, or some people identify them as that. I don't like to put tags on people, but there are those who teach that the church started in Acts 28 and that the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and so forth, are the epistles written to the church, the body of Christ, and that these other things were in effect during the ministry to Israel. I don't believe that. I believe the church started with the salvation of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Paul said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. And so I believe the church started with Paul. And I know that in that early church, there were spiritual gifts. And there was a purpose for those. And we're going to look at that this morning and see why they are no longer in effect today. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul makes a very interesting statement there. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Well, that tells us something right off. That tells us that there must have been some misunderstanding among people about the spiritual gifts, and Paul's desire was that people not be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. And he says that right here, I would not have you ignorant. He says in verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities," that simply means differences. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, these verses are very important that we understand, that we take literally exactly what they're saying. He said, the manifestation of the Spirit. A manifestation is something that you can see or experience. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, as I said a moment ago, there's a lot of debate today about the gifts. Years ago, there was what became known as the charismatic movement. And that was a renewing of the gifts and so forth. I had my dad tell me on more than one occasion about his dad, who was a holiness preacher. My dad was the 13th child in a rather large family. His dad was a holiness preacher. And my dad told me that he remembered back when the tongues movement really got started. And his dad was still alive at that time. And he asked his dad what he thought about it. Now his dad, as I said, was a holiness preacher. And they believed in the healing and that kind of thing. But his dad never believed that speaking in tongues was for us today. And when he asked his dad about it, on one occasion his dad said, "I believe that is simply a tool of the devil." And I found that interesting that far back there were those that some would identify with the charismatic movement that didn't really agree with all that was taking place. Now, the idea about all of that, I mean, the history of all of that is very interesting. I did a message on it years ago. And as a matter of fact, several messages tracing the history of where all this came from. Because there was a period of time, several hundred years, that there was very little mention of any gifts being in effect or anything else. But the fact is, it's today, here we find ourselves in 2018, there are still multitudes of people that believe that the spiritual gifts are in effect. Now, there are those that teach that the gifts such as tongues and healing and those kind of things are not in effect, and yet they believe that there are some gifts still in effect and are taught in their local church that you need to seek and desire to find out what your spiritual gift is. I had somebody tell me that goes to a Southern Baptist church. He told me years ago that he had the gift of discernment. And that he had discerned that what I was teaching was wrong. And I knew immediately he didn't have the gift. So people are taught in a lot of denominational churches that some of the gifts are in effect and you need to seek to know what your gift is. Well, I want us to examine that. The term spiritual gifts usually, as I said, is associated with the charismatic movement. And the word gift comes from a word that is translated not only gift in your King James Bible, but also grace. And it's translated grace. It's also gift. That word is C-H-A-R-I-S. And that's the word that Paul uses. Now, go back to Romans chapter 12. Let me show you something here. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. In verse 3. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace," there's that word that other places translated gift, and of course grace is a free gift. "I say, through the grace given unto me to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now that's very important. And I would submit to you this morning that that measure of faith has to do with those spiritual gifts. Paul said there was the gift of wisdom. There was the gift of knowledge. There was the gift of faith. There was the gift of prophecy. There was the gift of discerning of spirits. There was healing, working of miracles, and tongues. Those are the ones that Paul mentions in the verses that we just read. And he says here, there is a measure of faith. That measure of faith would have to do with that spiritual gift that you had. Not all of them were the same. There were diversities. There were differences. He goes on to say there in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Now notice, "having then gifts differing according to" what? "The grace that is given to us." Now there's no wonder that people believe that they're still in effect that do not rightly divide the word of truth. Because right here in Romans, Paul says, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to" what? "The proportion of faith." A proportion is like a measure. The measure of faith. "Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Now, through all of my lifetime, I've heard people claim to have different gifts. I've never had anybody claim to have the gift of giving. But that's what the Bible says. Somebody had the gift of giving. And he said, "And let him do it with simplicity, that he ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Look, if you will, back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 12 again, and you just keep your finger there or bookmark, because we're going to be going back and forth. There is this measure of faith. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, Paul said, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now, the same terminology. Hold on here and go back again. I should have told you to hold on to Romans, because we need to look at one of the passages. In Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, in verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God," notice, "and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Now, why is that important? Well, that is speaking, obviously, of salvation. And he talks about there about the gift of grace. And this is important because the gifts were given in the same way that salvation is given today. That is, they were a supernatural free gift of God. Now, there are those today that teach that the gifts are only reserved for the most committed and dedicated Christians. That's how people have gotten around today in the churches of God and the assemblies of God and different charismatic churches. The idea that some people don't have any gifts. But that's not what Paul says. He said that there were diversities of gifts, and it would appear that everybody had a measure of faith. But today it's taught that only certain people have the gifts. Some churches say that if you don't have any of the gifts, then you've never been saved. So there's all kind of takes on this. I mean, you can find just about anything you want to find about what people believe about these things. Matter of fact, there was... years ago, a man from Ohio wrote a book on how to speak in tongues. And he also sponsored a seminar where you could go and spend 2 weeks and he would teach you to speak in tongues. Now that doesn't sound like a gift, does it? You see, the idea was that people were being told that if you haven't spoken in tongues, then you don't have the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so they wanted to learn to speak in tongues. Well, let me tell you, what Paul's talking about here, there was no teaching. As a matter of fact, go back to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't have to practice. They didn't have to learn. They didn't have to go to school. They simply spoke in languages that the people there could understand. That was the supernatural gift of God. And you could understand why that would be necessary. After all, Jesus Christ told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They didn't have to go away to language school to learn a new language. They opened their mouth, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were given this gift of speaking in tongues. It was a supernatural gift, and they didn't have to study for it or learn it. It was given to them by the Spirit of God. Now, back in 1 Corinthians 12, there are really two kinds of gifts here that Paul talks about. There are those gifts that we would call or identify as, and people identify them as, sign gifts. You know what a sign is. A sign is something that you can see. It's something that's visible. Well, out of all those gifts that people mention there, if they said they had the gift of wisdom, could you really see a visible result of that? No. Just like the guy told me he had the gift of discernment. Well, I there was no physical evidence of that. Now, when you get to healing and working of miracles and speaking in tongues, those were things you could see. Those were things that were signs. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now notice, for the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews require sign. Now, What's that all about? Hold on here, or go back to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter has gone to the household of Cornelius and preached to them the kingdom gospel, and he says in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Now the people would be the Jews. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So you see what happened there? He preached to them. They received the Holy Ghost. And what was the evidence of that? Speaking in tongues. For years, I heard Jimmy Swaggart preach on radio when I was traveling a lot. He was on the radio an awful lot. And I can't tell you how many times I heard him say that a person, when they get saved, they will either at that point or later receive the filling of the Holy Ghost, and it will be evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now, like I say, they've kind of moved away from that position now, but that was the teaching. Well, speaking in tongues was something you could see. You could visibly experience that. It was a sign gift, as was the healing, the working of miracles. Go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now notice, these signs, something you can see, shall follow them that believe. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, there's a lot of people that claim these gifts individually. Very few people claim to have all of them, especially drinking any deadly thing. Now, some of them will handle snakes, but there's even a kind of a trick to that. I was reading about it not long ago over in Newport, Tennessee. They were handling snakes over there, and I don't think Sam Gerhardt's church was involved in it, but now there's churches over there where they handle snakes. And a guy had gotten bit. He had been bitten by one of the snakes, and he said it had been out of the cooler too long. And he went on to tell that what they do, you know, a snake is a cold-blooded animal. So when you put them in a cool temperature, they have very little movement. Thus, they take them out of these ice chests when they're cool, and they hold them, and the snake barely moves, and so they'll wiggle it around with their hands and so forth. At which, if I was there, I'd like to be like that song said, "If there wasn't a door, where do you want one?" I'd be gone. But they claim to have the gifts. Drink any deadly thing. Well, listen, these things, if you study what goes on in the tribulation, you'll see a direct correlation to the need for every one of these gifts. For example, what's going to happen to the water during that time? It's going to become, something's going to be turned to blood. It's going to become corrupted. But those disciples, those that follow Christ, will have the gift to survive by having that gift. He's not talking about taking Drano and drinking it. He's talking about things that kill other people will not kill them. And by the way, he said, these signs shall follow them. It would appear that they have all of them. And there was a specific purpose for that, so they could function during a period of time when all these things were necessary, like the taking up of deadly serpents and that kind of thing. They have no place today, folks. We're not in the tribulation period. We're not in a time trying to bring in an earthly kingdom. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. But when Paul got saved, these things were in effect, and had they not continued for a period of time, I would doubt that anybody would have believed that Paul was a true apostle. As a matter of fact, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11, Paul said, "I am become a fool in glorying, Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now notice, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Paul possessed all of those gifts that had been possessed by those at Jerusalem, the speaking in tongues and so forth. And Paul said there in Corinthians, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Why? Because Paul went to various countries, various cities, and he spoke to those people and no doubt had the gift of speaking in tongues to those people without an interpreter. Now, go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look over in verse. By the way, the idea today of gifts, like I say, there's diversities of gifts, and there's even more diversities of opinions about the gifts. But the spiritual gifts that God gave were likened to salvation in that they were supernatural gifts. People today many times will make the statement, well, so-and-so, God gave them the gift of singing. God gave them the gift of being able to play an instrument. God gave them the gift of public speaking. God gave them the gift of charity. And see, the problem with that is you start looking at yourself and wondering, why didn't God give you any of it? The things that people have in their life today come about through natural ability and personality traits. A person may have the gift of being able to pick up music and be able to play it, but I don't believe for a moment that that is a supernatural gift of God in the sense that these gifts were. I believe there's a natural tendency. And by the way, people that have that tendency, they still have to work at it. When I first tried to preach, every now and then find an old tape and I'll pop it in and I'll listen to it and I'll think, no wonder nobody came to church. Now, I'm not a whole lot better now, but I did practice and I did work on it. And with the help of people instructing me and telling me how I mispronounced certain words and all that, got a little better at it. But I used to stand in front of the mirror when nobody was home and preach and watch my mannerisms. That kind of, almost every Sunday I'd take the tape and listen to it. And I don't have any kind of supernatural gift of being able to speak. I've tried to get better at it. But the point is this, folks. There are natural abilities that certain people have. Some people have the gift of gab. Some people can walk into a room and it's like they never meet a stranger. I can tell you one person in particular, Brother Jerry Lockhart. He can walk into a room or a bar. Or anywhere else. And he can talk to people like he's known them forever. And I'm just sitting over there like this, you know. Bring me a cup of coffee. Now, if I'm around people I know, I do pretty good. And when I tell people that I'm an introvert, they don't believe that. But my wife can tell you that over the years, I have never liked being around new people, people I didn't know. I mentioned that a couple of years ago was in Gatlinburg, and a lady and her husband went and bought me a shirt that afternoon, and it said on the front, I'm not shy, I just don't like you. I hesitate to wear that out in public, you know, being a preacher. You don't want people to realize that that's what your real trait is. But the point I'm making in this is that people may be gifted in certain areas, but I do not believe for a moment that God today is supernaturally gifting people to do things like music, speak, and all that kind of stuff. That all went away. And by the way, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So just because I can't sing doesn't mean that God favored Kyle more than me or anybody else. Here's the thing. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now what is that more excellent way? Look in chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and by the way, prophecy is not what many people think it is. Sometimes when people see the word prophecy, they automatically assume that that is foretelling the future. If you look up prophecy in the dictionary, it is basically speaking under inspiration or speaking of spiritual things. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now skip down to verse 8. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Prophecy could include the foretelling, but it's not always that. So there was prophecies. He said, where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, Paul is very clear here that these gifts then, they had a shelf life, if you want to put it that way. They weren't going to always be in existence. Why is that? He says there in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now if you examine those verses that I just read, it will explain why the gifts are no longer functioning today. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, the gifts, shall be done away. Now, think about this. Paul said there, we know in part and we prophesy in part. He says in verse 8, there be charity never felt, where there be prophecy, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, has knowledge vanished away? No. But the gift of knowledge has vanished away. You see, there was those gifts, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of discerning of spirits. Those gifts were not signed gifts. They were gifts that were used. Now, if you don't get anything else from this, I hope you carry this away today and think about it. And maybe I've gone through too many scriptures, whatever, but I want you to get this. The spiritual gifts, particularly those that I just mentioned, wisdom, knowledge, faith, prophecy, and discerning of spirits, those gifts functioned in the early church much in the same way as the Word of God functions today. There was the gift of knowledge. Where do we get knowledge? From the Word of God. There was the gift of wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? From the Word of God. There was the gift of faith. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There was the gift of prophecy. Where do we get prophecy from? The Word of God. There was the discerning of spirits. How can you discern spirits today? By the Word of God. When the Word of God was completed, there was no need for those gifts. And that is why Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. And he says in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. Paul had only written about half of his epistles at the time he wrote this one. And Paul realized that God was not through with the revelation. He told him initially. He said, Paul, you're to be a witness of those things in which thou hast seen, and the things I will appear unto thee. So Paul didn't have the whole revelation. But when he did, when the revelation was completed, you know what he said in Colossians chapter 1? That he filled up, he fulfilled the Word of God. It became complete. And today, we can go to the Word of God, and from the Word of God, we have wisdom and knowledge and faith and discerning of spirits, and we don't need the spiritual gifts any longer, and no longer is there a nation Israel, so we don't need the sign gifts because the Jews are the ones that require sign. The Word of God has replaced all of that. And I find it very interesting. I want you to look at a couple of verses. I want to compare 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit withal. These things were to profit those that were there, that were being taught by those that had the gift of knowledge and faith and wisdom and so forth. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the last book that Paul ever wrote, verse 16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Say it again. It's profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what you profit from today, not some supernatural gift. You got them all through the Word of God, folks. You've got it all. You've got wisdom. You've got knowledge. You've got faith. You can discern the spirits. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Another illustration. Look back in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. And get Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. You may be established. Why did Paul want to go there? He wanted to impart unto them what? A spiritual gift. Why? That they might be established. But he wasn't able to go there. So notice what he says by the time he concludes the book in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, the end of the letter. Now to Him that is the power to establish you, how? According to a spiritual gift? No. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, in the early time, Paul said, I wanted to come to you and impart some spiritual gift that you might be established. Now he says, how are you established? By the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Revelation of the mystery and my gospel and the scriptures. There's no longer a need today for the spiritual gifts. And when people put more emphasis, now you listen to me, the majority of people today that practice the spiritual gifts put more emphasis on those gifts than they do the completed Word of God. And they put more stock in those gifts than they do the Word of God. I shared this message with a man one time in a Bible study. Afterwards, we're having refreshments. And I asked him went to a church of God. And I asked him what he thought about the message. He said, well, I enjoyed it. But he said, I have spoken in tongues. I've had the experience. And I don't care what the Bible says. I've had the experience. Now, you know what? There's a lot of people that would never utter that with their lips, but they believe it. They'll take experience over the Word of God every time. We walk by faith, not by sight. Don't be deceived, folks. There was a purpose, there was a need, and there was a reason for the spiritual gifts, but it came to a conclusion when the Word of God was completed, and today we should praise God for His Word and not spend our time down at some old-fashioned altar praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you already got it. And you've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. The confusion that reigns today is exactly what Paul was addressing in the very first verse we read today when he said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the majority of the religious world today is ignorant concerning these things, and therefore put more stock in those things than they do the Word of God. It's just another tactic of the devil to turn people away from the truth, to fables, tales, and so forth. Thank God for the truth of His Word that provides unto us a clear understanding and presentation of the gospel of Christ, how that He died for our sins, He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. You don't get saved today by praying at an altar. You get saved by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't get saved by confessing your sins or being baptized or joining the church. You get saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You believe this morning that Christ died for you, was buried and rose again the third day, receive that free gift, and He'll save you this very moment. And by the way, when He does, you don't have to worry about some second filling. The Bible said you are complete in Christ. Would you stand me for prayer?